We're doing Pirkei Avot with Rabbeinu Yonah. Last week, we went off on a tangent. We learned the long story of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, the great sage, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And this was all as a tangent to understand what Rabbeinu Yonah quoted from that Gemara in Tractate Baba Metzia, that when Rabbi Shimon's wife left him, when Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon's wife left him, she thought he wouldn't manage without her, that it was her wealthy father that was supporting him. So Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon suddenly found he got wealth from a totally different, unexpected place. And when his wife checked up on him to see how he was managing without her, so he sent the daughter back to tell the mother, to tell his wife, "I'm managing just fine. That the Torah is like a merchant ship that brings her food from afar." That was an allusion to the sailors that had brought him that wealth after he had prayed and they'd been saved from drowning. So the question is, he had just described how a person should not benefit from their Torah. So how come Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon agreed to get that gift from the sailors? So Rabbi Yona explains, "Umipnei shayaz zaken," because Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon was already old. "V'kibel alav yisurin." So he was under afflictions, as we saw in that Gemara, that every morning he would awaken and all the sheets that were under him were soaked from the pus that came out of him. So he needed to feed himself, he needed to get cured. And his wife had told him, "I'm leaving, you manage on your own." So that's considered tzedakah. So if a person needs tzedakah, so they're okay if they accept it. He was in a state, he was deathly ill at night, he gets up in the morning, he gets cured, but he still needs support. So that's why it was okay. Yes?
When Rabbi Elazar says that he was old, is there a specific classification as old from a certain age? Or
I don't know over here if the term zaken is what we often mean age 70, or sometimes zaken is a conjunction of zekana chokhma, it's one who acquired wisdom. Here it seems to be an indication that he was just old, he was weak. Yes?
But he asked for the sickness, and when he sent it away too.
Right?
How is it deathly?
Well, answer your own question.
Right, but if he was going to die, he could just tell it to go away.
So then why did he ask for it to come?
Because he was unsure if he sent.
Okay. So he didn't see that he had that choice. Meaning he had to undergo, in his mind, and you see that in heaven, to some degree, they agreed with him. In his mind, he couldn't continue without undergoing this. And so he asked for these afflictions. The flip side of it is, there was a cost to it. Both are true. You're right, that he could have just said, "Ribbon Shalom, please stop making me ill." And instead he said every night, "Ribbon Shalom, bring it on." But that was part of what he thought he had to do. That's like saying a person who's taking chemo could stop. They're very weak from the chemo, but they...
In the morning he told the sickness to go away.
Right, that was all part of his calculation. How do I have to get cured? Cured spiritually. He didn't feel like he had a choice. You're viewing it as, why did he have to do it to himself? So I'm saying the corresponding scenario...
I don't see it as deathly ill.
Okay. So I'm saying, you see from Ben Yonah, he was. That's exactly the point, that his wife was correct in telling him for years, "You're not going to Beis Medrash. You were so sick last night. You feel good in the morning, but you're not going." But if a person is healthy and he can do work, then he should not benefit from the honor of his Torah. And what our sages taught, the Talmud says that we have a rule that he who gives a gift to Talmid Chacham, it's as though they brought Bikurim before Hashem. So the actual scenario where the Talmud tells us the story is an interesting one. It says there was a man who came to Rabbi Anan, and he brought him a gift. And Rabbi Anan said, "Why are you bringing me a gift? So the man quoted this halacha. He said, it says that today that we don't have a temple. How can you bring your first fruits to God? Bring them to the rabbi. So Rabbi Anan said, if that's your intention, okay, then I'll accept the fruits from you. So after he accepted the gift, so the man said, now I have a court case I want you to oversee. Yeah. So Rabbi Anan says, I can't do that now. Now that you've given me a gift, I'm disqualified from being judge. So we would think that the Talmud was telling us the story to tell us that the first part of the story was incorrect. Because you see, the man begins by bringing the gift, and Rabbi Anan is cautious. He says, why are you giving me a gift? So the man tells him this concept. He says, you know, it says that when you don't have a temple, if you give a rabbi a gift, it's like bringing Bikurim. So you would have thought that the conclusion of the story undoes the beginning of the story. And Rabbi Yonah says, no, the first concept he says was right. The first concept that he says that bringing his intention when he brought the gift to Rabbi Anan and he says this is a fulfillment of Bikurim, he was right on that. The fact that he later wanted to use that as an excuse to con him, to say, now I want you to oversee a case, so that obviously he was wrong on. But that doesn't undo his first claim. You see, the Talmud quoted that, and the Talmud backs it. That is, there is. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, how do you balance the two? We just said you're not supposed to use the honor of Torah to benefit. And here it says, if a person gives a gift to Talmid Chacham, that's as though he brought Bikurim. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, it has to be in the range that even if he wasn't a rabbi, you'd give that type of gift to someone. You see that people give gifts to their local politician. I know a person who, different seasons of the year, he buys donuts for all the policemen and the ambulance workers, and somehow he never gets tickets. There are gifts that he gives. Someone once told me, I don't know if it's true, someone told me that he was speeding and a cop stopped him. So the cop looks at his license, and right next to his license he has this person's business card. So on purpose. So the policeman asked him, how do you know that person? And he said, well, I'm on my way to meet him right now. So the policeman says, very interesting. You know, you were driving a little bit fast. I hope that next time you won't do that. Take back your license. Goodbye. So there are gifts that people give, even to someone who's not learned. They're just giving it to people of importance, people who are, it could be the governor of the city. There are gifts that people give, and that Rabbeinu Yonah says, that's where Chazal said, if he chooses, instead of giving it to the local governor or the local police commissioner, he's giving it to his local rabbi, so that's okay that the rabbi accepts it. That's where Chazal said, that's the equivalent of giving Bikurim. But not more than that. That's yes?
The second half of the story shows that this rab was obviously being very straight and sublime. Now I'm kind of disposed towards you, I can't judge. In all the other examples, you're kind of saying that there's really nothing wrong with that, but, you know, and I think it makes the world a lot smoother. People do it, but it is certainly, when you put the business card in with the license plate or your brother's PBA card or Visa account, so, you know, it's saying that, you know, bribery is something to discuss. It's not so clear that that's a problem.
I'm not saying what he did was right. I'm saying that
the implication is, you know, that if you're giving to for the reason of fulfilling the mitzvah of the Kuri that you can't do now, that's very high-minded. If you want to be a nice guy and on a cold day bring coffee and donuts to somebody, that's one thing. But if your motivation is clearly, yeah, it's a nice thing to do, but I'm not doing it for the, you know, everybody I see. I'm doing it for people that I could possibly get a favor from. I'm not saying that's necessarily wrong. It's just, it's questionable.
I think there's always a question of what you stand, what you're going to use it for. Meaning, I can't say more on the record. I didn't mean to say what the person did was right. I meant to say that. I'm just saying that sometimes people have an interest in maintaining a good relationship. with the people in there, the governors, the bankers, and it doesn't always have to be crooked.
No, we weren't here. Don't be close to the very top guy, but right under there, below that, it's a way to get you want it here. You can end up running for president. It could be Trump. Just to give money to Clinton's, you used to give to all of them. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that it's just, it's very different than the first half of what you said, with clearly the motivation to give to the Hakamah to fulfill the mitzvah before you. Was not about personal gain.
Agreed. I'm just saying you would wonder, Rabbeinu Yonah says, the gift that's acceptable is the same type of gift you would give a person of importance who is not learned. So I'm saying, I'm trying to explain why would someone give a gift to his local governor, to his local banker, etc. I'm saying it smears the way when they have a choice whether to say you have a problem or you don't have a problem.
It's not such a big gift that it's obvious that you wouldn't give it to other people.
And I don't know about that. Okay.
I don't want to. Vinny corrected me in the first part of the story. It should be, I think you say, it should be okay to do that according to
right.
Rabbeinu Yonah. But he said it's right. The first guy didn't. He was using it wrongly. Both
seems times. That way, right? It doesn't seem from the Talmud that the person's intentions were pure.
I just look confused because there are cultures, generally Western American culture growing up, you learn that bribery is not such a good thing. In Oriental culture, it's a way to do business. Of course, it's normal, but you know, the problem is when you give the contract to build a bridge to the person who gave the biggest bribe, and then they use cheap materials, and the bridge falls down, and people are killed. It's also a problem. Here, I'm not sure where Judaism comes down on this kind of thing. It's sort of mixed.
It's like hard to say, because...
You know, use the honor of Torah. Well, on the one hand, as you said to last week, you wouldn't have people teaching Torah enough if they weren't getting science. On the other hand, to use the honor of Torah like that is not the ideal in the perfect world.
Right, but sometimes you have a choice. Meaning, you deposit a check from one of your accounts to another account, right? So it's very clear, it's your money, and you forget to endorse it. Now, the banker that gets your check, it's your check from Bank A, which you deposited in Bank B. And it's very obvious they understand what's going on. The banker could call you up and say, I'm sorry, I can't deposit this without your signature. Could you come down to the bank? And there you lost 2 hours of your day. Right. Come down, wait online, sign the check, they'll redeposit it. They might even charge you a fee. On the other hand, the banker can say, I understand what's going on here. I, in the future, endorse your check, but now I'll deposit it for you. What does the banker choose to say? If you bought them donuts last week, they're going to endorse it for you. Now, is it illegal? It's fine. We all understand it's fine. So there are many areas where people can be the source of the problem or the source of the solution. I can tell you that when I come to a counter, I will very often carry candies in my pocket and offer the person behind the counter a candy. Now you'll ask me, am I bribing the person? The answer is yes. Am I asking them to do something illegal? No. I'm asking them that when they're going to have, and that little bribe, call it a bribe, you offered the person a candy, will very often cause the person, when they can tell you, you know, you have a problem, or tell you, it's not a big deal, we have a solution. And people have a choice, these people who are the gatekeepers, they very often have a choice whether they're going to make you a problem or be part of the solution.
And you can rationalize because you'll give candy and shul to kids without anything in return.
So right, but there's nothing wrong with it. I'm saying when you say the term bribe, so it automatically has connotations of, you know, the connotation is you're going to give me something in return that I don't rightfully deserve.
I don't know. I mean, sometimes you may deserve it, you may not. You're just begging a little extra, you know. I mean, it's you know, what's the word here? Pataxia. I mean, you know, there's a fine line between... again, not to belabor, it's hard to know where Judaism stands on it because it seems dependent on the situation.
I think that again, if what you're asking for is within, if what you're asking for is within the realm, you haven't asked them to do something inappropriate.
I agree, but I think the fact that if you're saying, Right. I mean, you know, you're... I mean, look, when a guy comes to your house and works hard and he's working for a company and, you know, he's got to come back to finish the job or something, is it reasonable or smart to give him an extra 10 shekels, whatever it is, you know? Obviously, if you're good host, you'll offer a cold drink anyway. I mean, it's a fine line between would you do that I think you have to ask yourself your motivation. Would you do that if you knew you'd never see him again?
But there's no problem. There's no problem. That's what the Gemara calls Tovas Hana.
Right.
I'm allowed to do something with intention. I'll benefit from it.
That's
not called bribery. If I told him, I think you're a great guy, and because I love you, I'm giving you a drink, or I'm giving you an extra 10 shekel, then it's Gnevas Das. I'm telling him something that's not true. But if I understand and he understands that I'm giving him a tip or I'm giving him a benefit, a good lunch, because I want him to work well in my house...
Back in the old days, secular culture, you know, you're going to a big amphitheater or in the concert somewhere, whatever, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, or wherever it's playing, you give the usher, you know, you want to sit up closer. Is that considered... You know,
again, is it the realm of what he can give you legitimately? Or am I asking him, I bought a ticket for $50, put me at a $150 seat? That's the question.
Anyway, someone will go there. And again... You know,
I don't know, sir. I don't know that. I don't know how that works.
Losses here, whatever. I mean, it doesn't happen, but I'm just saying, theoretically, if you could give the guy who's punching and giving in there 5 shekels and you go to the front line, is that...
That's not fair. You're taking something that's not legitimate. I'm saying that's the difference here.
I'm saying in the story that it was not okay, that he could not judge because he gave the gift.
I have this happen a lot. I always try and ask myself, what's motivation? A lot of times, it's not the highest motivation.
But I'm saying the motivation is not a problem. Your motivation can be your self-benefit. The question is, am I getting something that I have no right to get?
It doesn't matter that other people aren't in a position to do it. That's fine. It's not an issue that no one else, but other people, you know, aren't in a position, either financially or logistically.
What difference is it? I'm not hurting anyone.
No.
Like the example I gave in the bank. I'm saving myself 2 hours. I'm not hurting anyone.
I agree.
No.
That was your story about the...
That's true, but I don't come in and give donuts, no.
I didn't give the candy and I had to go. You know, sometimes it's a pain. It's embarrassing, too. You know, you give someone your wedding thing and you forget to put the right date on them.
Right.
2017 or 2014. And you're right. If they know you, at least they'll call you and say, I put this through or something, as opposed to just the simplest thing, you know, bounce it and then you got to deal with it.
Right. And again, in the realm of what's fair, people have choices.
One thing with Larry, I find this area difficult to know what's right or wrong. Yeah. Because everyone rationalizes it. I'm not always sure.
Again, Chazal tell us I'm allowed to do something with the intention of benefiting from it. What I'm not allowed to do is make the person think I love them when I don't.
We've had prominent people taking money for tzedakah and giving certain favors, you know.
That runs into different questions. Okay. Did I give the contract to someone who shouldn't have gotten the contract? Did I do what was in the best interest of the position I'm in? If I have to choose who to give a contract to, and my responsibility is to choose an unbiased choice... There, I run into a problem. But the flip side of it is that sometimes a person has to decide, am I going to make an issue of something? And I don't have to make an issue of it, like the story of the bank.
Well, I like the story that the guy recused himself the first time he started that. He said, I can't be unbiased because most of the time, at least I find, even when I think I'm being unbiased, there are times when, you know, it can't be out. Or you could just get cynical and say, hey, listen, well, I'm going to give a contract to my enemies. Of course, I'll give it to my friends if they can do the job just as well at the same price. Anyway.
Now the Talmud in Tractate Brachos tells us, "Harotze leinot yenek Elisha." The Talmud says, if a person wants to benefit, then he's allowed to benefit the same way Elisha benefited. It says that Elisha, there was a woman who prepared him a room, she prepared him a lamp, she prepared him a bed, and whenever he'd come to that city, so he knew he could go to that room. So the Talmud says, that's okay, you're allowed to do what Elisha did if you want to benefit. You want to go like Shmuel, where Shmuel, it says, wherever he traveled, he would take everything he needed, he didn't want favors from anyone. That's also okay. There are two ways you can behave. So Rabbeinu Yonah says, wait a second, how can you benefit like Elisha did? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, Zeh matil mlai lekis tamdei chachamim shescharan merube umutar. Chazal say, when a person chooses to help the business of the sages, the way let's say he knows that the rabbis in the days of the Chafetz Chaim, they used to sell candles. That was the Chafetz Chaim's parnasa. They used to leave the rabbi his job. He was, no one was allowed to compete with him. His way of making a parnasa in Poland, in the city of Radin, was selling candles. That was what they left for the rabbi. So if a person says, I have to buy wholesale 5 million candles, so I will buy for the Chafetz Chaim at a reduced rate his candles. And this way, when he sells them, he'll make a greater profit. So I've helped him. I've given him a benefit. So that's okay. A person says, I have to buy. I'll buy from him instead of buying from someone else. So that's what when Chazal said, if a Talmud Chacham wants to benefit from other people, so then he's allowed to. That's what Chazal meant. They meant in the realm that a person might have done it for his neighbor also. It could be, if I knew my neighbor was selling candles and I'm buying wholesale a large quantity and I could help his business, I'd do it for my neighbor as well. We had now in Shul, we just bought a 10,000 shekel worth of svarim. So the seller is a friend of mine and people in Shul are friends of mine. So we asked the seller, is it in his interest that we offer people in the shul to join our purchase because we're getting it at a reduced rate? So I asked the seller. I said to him, you know, I asked through someone. I asked someone to ask him, do you want us to offer the public to buy through us? Because on the one hand, you're making less profit because they're buying it at a reduced rate. On the other hand, they might not buy this farm if you don't give them that.
Or they might not buy from you.
Right. And he said, yes, please do. Offer the people to join the shul order. That was his answer. He said, I'm making enough of a profit that it's in my interest. But this is the type of thing you do as a good neighbor. If you could help your neighbor, you would do it too. So there, says Rabbeinu Yonah, the person isn't benefiting because he learned Torah. You're choosing to help this neighbor because you know he's learned Torah, you want to help him. But technically, you would have done it for another neighbor too. Yes?
Is that even with the donkey, the chicken, and the candle, that he was traveling with those things? Someone else's chicken to wake him up, and someone else's.
I don't know. I always understood Rabbi Akiva didn't have. You see, they didn't. They wouldn't give him a roof. They wouldn't give him supper.
But he took it from his house. I'm saying he didn't know what they were.
Okay, maybe he knew that in certain towns you don't get what you need. No, you see, that's what happened to him. והכתוב גם כן פטרן מן מיני מיסים וארנונות ואפילו כסף גולגולתא וכמה הדברים היהודים על פי הכוונה שהקדוש ברוך הוא זכה בהם תלמידי חכמים וכן צידר עניין רבי מאיר ז"ל. So Rabbeinu Yonah says we also find that the Torah or Chazal said that a Talmid Chacham gets exempt from certain taxes, and this Chazal had a tradition that we learn from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ketuvim that they're exempt from those taxes. This goes into a broader discussion in Halacha. Does the Talmud Chacham have to pay for taxes for things he doesn't need? So Chazal said, for example, you're going to bring in someone to teach. He doesn't need that teacher. He's learning on his own. So he doesn't. You're forcing him to pay a tax that's not his benefit. So by the same token, I gave an example Chazal don't give. Chazal gave a different example. Chazal said, when it comes to paying for the security of the city, so then the Talmid Chacham doesn't have to pay because he doesn't need it. So there is a commentary on the Rambam that says that that only works if the Talmid Chacham says, I'm willing to stick around even if there's no security here. Meaning that if he's on the level where he says, I'm not worried, you guys can all leave. You could leave if you don't have to have security here. I'm not worried. Nothing's going to happen to me. So then he can really say, I don't have to pay the taxes for that. That's a discussion in Halacha. Who gets that exempt form? But the logic behind it is they're being exempt from things they don't need. Again, Rabbeinu Yonah comes back to this idea. It's not that they're supposed to benefit from the title, they've learned Torah. That not. So each scenario, he's explaining why in that scenario it's okay. Either because it's something you would do for a neighbor also, or because the person is ill and other people that are ill are also entitled to take benefits. The story of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Or finally he says here, if it's something that the whole tax is for something that the Talmid Chacham doesn't need, so then that's why Hashem says he's exempt from paying that tax. Each scenario and its reason. Yeah.
Isn't it always in his interest to live in a city that they're more educated and they're more protected?
Why?
The holy city, I don't know.
Don't tell them that, they won't teach us here. They'll teach
healthy
in the
mirror. I think it depends. It depends on the scenario. Sometimes a person has reasons why he has to be in a certain city. You have stories of Rabbi Lazar Ben Arach, who needed to go to a certain city for his health. I have the same story with Rav Salant. He came to Jerusalem because he needed the Jerusalem air for his health. So there are many reasons why a person might choose what city they're in. It's not just one. You know, the Panovicharov traveled to Florida because he needed it for his health. What's he doing in Florida? That's what the doctor said would be good for him.
Same thing as you said, though, isn't there an obligation, you know, friendship, you know, fellows yourself? I mean, if somebody is in a position, you know, where they can hire a tutor for their son, but they still will all those system of failure to use funds, person that I think the community itself, you're talking especially now that's